And you might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the first epistle of John and chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart before you and your word. So, Spirit of God, help us in every way, even now. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And if you keep in mind, as we have been going down the corridor of time here in God's Word, if you were back, way back in the beginning, and Adam and Eve enjoyed a unique relationship to God, they did, period, until they sinned. And then they lost that relationship to God, and they needed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as their Savior, which they did, Genesis 3, 15, 20, 21. And they did that. And now, what have we got? We've got Adam and Eve and Abel, and then we go to Enoch and Noah. Enoch and Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Moses had a unique relationship to God. And then there's Israel. And then there's history. Now, in all of that, God, all of it is very, all the men I mentioned, very personal. Abraham personally knew God. Moses personally knew God. So there's no question about that. It's a very personal relationship in a very wonderful, wonderful way. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, here we are in this world, and God is seeking whosoever that would believe, that would come to know him as their Savior and come to know him. And God seeking that up and down the land, up and down the planet Earth, looking for whosoever's that he might save them. He died on the cross to save them. Now, so what do we know about the world? The world system has no place for God. It's a world of darkness and death. It has no place for God. So therefore, God can't come charging in with his awesome presence. And that would overwhelm, obviously. Everything would be subdued. So it wouldn't help. God's looking for people that might choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's what he's looking for. So it's a dark world. And God, here we are, like we shared. Where is the presence of God? Where is the sense of God? On the news, when you go to work, when you go to the grocery store, is there a sense of God? No. It's just absent. Just God, as if he doesn't exist. That's right. Because God's reaching out in the darkness for whosoever's that would seek him to bring light into the darkness for them to receive Christ as their Savior. Now, in the process of all of that happening, so therefore, in 1 John, at the end of the first century almost, in the end of it, here's 1 John, and the believers are being hit. John, the last living apostle, is writing to help them understand in 1 John, to help them understand what you're up against. You're to be his witnesses. But it is not in a healthy environment. It's a darkening environment and lots of persecution. And they hate, as we shared, they hate the light. And the Lord Jesus said, if they hate me, they're certainly going to hate you. if you represent me. So you know that. So that's where we are. So what are you trying to help us understand, John? Something awesomely and wonderfully simple. I want you to know that I am going to find, I have died on the cross to find my home in your heart, in your life. And I want you to find your home and your life in who I am. Simple, don't. That's from Genesis to Revelation. Okay, now, here in 1 John, as we've been moving through it, God's going to say it in a most simple way. The simplest, wonderfulest truth that we're in the presence of God and God seeks to have. And remember them, they that to know God, we're body, soul, spirit, human being, and we're made. We're not made like a donkey. We have a spirit. And therefore, because God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him, 1 John 4, in spirit and in truth, to worship him in a most wonderful way, to know him, in a most simple, wonderful way that is so missing, so absent. Let's try it. 1 John, and in chapter 4, and you know the subject matter, 1 John chapter 4, is to know him, is to have, to know that when you receive Christ as your Savior, you received him as the Lord God Almighty. You understood Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. You didn't receive just a thought. You, when you received Christ as your Savior, when you opened the door of your heart, you received him in all of his wonderfulness, personally. In awareness presence, you received him as your Savior. So therefore, and the point that John is driving home is the only witness, the only sign he's going to give is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as we've said a thousand times. And that's the empty tomb and that God risen. You can't find him, you can't see him, no. And he's seated at the right hand of God in his perfect humanity and in his wonderful saving person. He's found a home in the whosoevers. And the whosoevers, Acts 1:8, are his witnesses. And God is going to what? God, the invisible God, the awesome God, invisible, showed himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. 1 John, the Gospel of John, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God put on a human house so that you could see him, because we're human, so that we could understand. If he became an ant, we couldn't do it. He had to become like we are, and he did, in order to know him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and we receive him as our Savior, and to know him now. So therefore, how are we going to show that to the, we are his witnesses, Acts 1:8. We're his witnesses, Acts 1:8. So when the world looks, the only sign he's going to show them is a sign of an empty tomb and an empty cross, but your heart full of his wonderful person, because he died to save such as you. And you're going to show that. Therefore, as we read over and over again, picking up, please, in verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, a satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's the whole point. He's driving home what? Your relationship to Christ your relationship to Christ. That's what you need to exercise, because that's going to show the filament in the bulb needs the power. And the power has to get in that filament to light the light, to light the light in a most wonderful way. God said, I want to get the filament full of light. I want you to understand, I'm taking your little dark life of flesh and blood and showing my awesome grace and mercy to save such as you. I'm showing that. That's the whole issue that he's doing. That's the ball game. That's the church. That's why we gather together, to bear witness to who he is. That's all it is. What do you mean that's all it is? That's awesomely all it is. Now, to see it, verse 11. If God so loved the world as we should, we owe one another love. We owe one another. Hang on. We owe one another. So therefore, you're down in verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. And so, never, because God is infinite and the whole creation of zillions of galaxies, as it were, just a speck in the middle of God. All of it is in the middle of God. It's impossible to see God because God is God. But God in Christ is now seeable and understandable. Men ought to love, and no man has seen God at any time. God, Christ has made him known. John 1 and 18, he explains God. So therefore, God, you make it known. And you need to know and make sure you understand that God is in Christ. That's the whole argument, that God is in Christ. That how can God be in a man? That's the big debate back then. The world didn't believe it. They knew Zeus and Mercury and all the different ones, but they didn't. None of those gods in the heavens, as the Greek mythology, none of those gods are real to us. And here they are. And the Jews said, it is impossible. It is impossible for God to be like us, a man. And they rejected him. They rejected him, as you see. Now, so therefore, no man has seen God at any time. If any man love, love one another, verse 12, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Now that's going to be repeated over and over and over and over, just like over and over and over we say, the tree and the branch. The branch, you have to do what? Abide. That's the word dwell, to remain, to abide, to stay, to remain, to remain, to stay, to abide, to continue, to live. The branch has to stay in the vine in order for the life of the tree to show itself in fruit and leaves. It has to abide. That's the word dwell. And you're going to say it over and over again, God. That's right. I'm going to say it over and over again to you till it sinks into your head. You have to abide. Period. How close is that? That makes for a unique oneness. A unique oneness. The tree and the life of the tree is in the branch. That's oneness. John chapter 17. Now, so therefore, verse 12, love one another. God dwelleth in us. God is dwelling in us. Oh, present tense. He's dwelling. And his love is perfected. the word perfect, to finish, to be brought to an end, to be brought to a goal. The fellow crosses the goal line for a touchdown, finish. The basket goes into the hoop, loop, and goes into it. Who doesn't? It's a score. It's a point. It's finished. That's the word, to cross the goal line. Verse 12, and his love is perfected, has been perfected in us, completed in us. When he died, he did that. What did he do? What are you looking at, John? I'm looking at the believers out there, he said, and the believers, and I'm one of them, believers. When Christ died on the cross, he died to save us. And you know what? We believed and are saved. How was it completed? God looks at us and he said, I died to save you and you're saved. That's why I died, to save you. And there you are, finished. You're really saved. You aren't going to get more saved. You aren't going to get less saved. You're either saved or you're not saved. It's perfected. And God said, listen, we're standing there. Here they are in the first century, believers. We're there. We're finished products. God died on the cross to make something happen to save us. And here we are. We're saved. We're saved. We're really, really saved. Now, hang on to that. In the process, God is perfected. He remains. He continues. He abides. Saves us. He perfected us. So that the goal has been reached. He has finished. It's what he died for. What did he die for? To find his home in his heart. Find his home and life in yours. That's what he died for. He isn't going to find it more. 10 more years from now, it's not going to be more. You're not going to be more saved. 1,000 years from now, you're not going to be more saved. You're going to be in the place to enjoy being saved, which is quite different than growing. I'm going to be saved better. No, you're not going to be saved better. You're saved perfectly, wonderfully, period. Your old sin nature's crucified. You don't even talk about it. You reckon yourself dead. You're alive in Christ Jesus to enjoy his wonderful life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And thus, perfect, you want nothing. You need nothing. You're finished. God said, listen, I want you to understand that you are a finished product. I want to show you to the world. The only way the world's going to see is that you love. That you love what? You love me, said God. Now, how are you going to love me? You love what I love. And here's the other belief, not unsaved people, saved people. You love the same belief. You love that believer and that believer, and that believer loves you. That's the evidence that the world will see. We all, same Lord, same life, same God, trust, same. That's what the world sees. That's what the world is to see. That's the only thing I'm going to show them. You're my witnesses. So therefore, and daughters, verse 13, picking up in verse 13, if I may, and hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And God's wonderful, 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 hereby, by this, by means of this, by means of this, because of this, you know, out from this, you're the source, out from the source. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and in him, he's the source, out of, we dwell in him, the Spirit that God has given to us in his wonderful way from the Father. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to save us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God, here we are looking to you that we might be saved and enjoy being saved, exercise being saved. You ought to know you're saved. You want to be so, anyway, to know you're saved. Now, so in verse 13, hereby we know. What are we knowing? What are we progressively knowing? Knowing and knowing and knowing. We keep knowing it. We don't, it doesn't disappear. It just is confirmed, reaffirmed, confirmed, reaffirmed, over and over, over and over. Trial, test, trouble. We're learning. We're learning. We're saved. God truly is in us. He's an ever-present help, et cetera, et cetera. Now, so therefore, verse 13, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. And we share together, back up in verse 24 of chapter 3. He that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, there's your word dwell, abide, dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. By the, how are we going to know any of it? Because the Spirit of God has been given to us. Now, where's the Spirit of God going to go? The Spirit of God did a wonderful thing when he saved you. And now, how'd you get saved? You read God's word. Where's God's word come from? The Spirit of God gave his word. The Spirit of God wrote it down. The Spirit of God wrote it down. Read it. The Spirit said, let me write it down for you. That's what we're doing. We're reading what he said. Why do we read what he said? Because the Spirit of God said so. He said, it's my words. It isn't my, I didn't write this, and you didn't write this. God did. He's trying to tell you what you need to understand. And God did it. So get your note. Okay. Get out of the way and let God help you understand. The saving grace of God is all of God. It isn't of us. I didn't do anything to get saved, and neither did you. God did. Why? Because he's God. Because he made us. Declaration of Independence, second paragraph. He made us. That's what it says. We owe him. We owe him. Simple. But you would never know that. That's right. But that's the only sign that I'm going to give. Is a sign of that loathe you. That's the only sign I'm going to give to them. Yeah. And sometime as just a believer all alone. Think of the Muslim countries and even our own country, where the whole tribe, the whole everything, they don't believe. And your little old heart's right smack in the middle of it. You're a little light in a very dark place, but you are a little light. That's what you are. A little light. That's all. That's all God's going to show them. So now, having said that, verse 13, the Spirit of God is going to do that. And in chapter 4, verse 6, we are of God, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. The Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is to do what it does in the way that he does. And God's going to reveal the Father in the way that he does. And so what do we do? The end of verse 12, God dwelleth in us. Verse 13, and we know that we dwell in him. Now you can't go back and forth. I'm going to take, if I can find him for better or worse, and I just leave him up there. When? When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you open the door of your heart and you receive him as your Savior. So you're saved. That's how you get saved. God in Christ, in you. You in Christ, Christ in God. Got it? You have to go to Harvard Law School to get this. You understand? And God. Christ in God, Christ in God, and you in God. This God, God in Christ in you, and you in Christ in God. That's how you're saved. Didn't have to go to law school or anything else to know that. It's a relationship. It's such a unique relationship. It's unbelievable. And we don't believe it, don't trust it, doesn't make sense to us. But God's going to try to, well, keep reading. He's trying to say it to you. He can't say it simpler or louder than what we're going to read. And that's what's missing. The church out here, Christendom, the churches, we got everything except the simplicity of this relationship. And we don't have it. And we don't have a sense of God either. I can go to church and sing 75 hymns and have worship and lights and everything and go home. And I have no sense of God from start to finish. Not of God. No. And I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with that. Now, keeping that up there. So therefore, verse 13. He's giving us a spirit, and the Spirit of God is going to go and do his most wonderful, wonderful things. And you remember in Acts, in chapter 1, they're going to be his witnesses. And when you come to Acts in chapter 2, etc., Peter says to them straight outright, "We're nothing but fishermen and tax collectors. We're nobodies." Acts chapter 4, we're nobody's fishermen. But you know what? God, in his grace, has given us a wonderful relationship to him. And Acts chapter 2, etc. We are his witnesses of his resurrection, not his death. No one's questioning his death. It's his resurrection. And we are his witnesses. That's what the fishermen said. And you know what? The only thing they could do is persecute him and put him in prison. If you do that, how are you going to shut them up? They have a relationship to God that's legit. It's legit. It's real. It's real. The light really is there. You're really saved. Yes. I am saved. Yeah. Now, hang on. End chapter. And so therefore we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior in a most wonderful way. And that's why you received him and trusted him. Back over just to review it for a sec, over to John chapter 14. And you know all these things, but what good's knowing them if they don't connect together, help you understand? John chapter 14, and picking up, please, chapter 14, 16. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross and provide us the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. And I will pray the Father, 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another of the same kind, Comforter, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth, he's there with you now, and he's going to keep staying there. He's going to be there. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is going to go and stay and bless your heart. And therefore, chapter 14 and in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to go and find my home in their heart, verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, abiding place, with him. It's a personal, internal, personal relationship. It can't get more personal. Can't get more personal. Because what? There is no person. You get married and do whatever you want as you do it. You have a relationship, yeah, oneness. You don't have the oneness that you have when you get saved. You don't have that oneness. No. God literally takes you in this way. You don't have that in no way. There's no one, the devil in demon possession, he can't even do that. He can't do it. Only God gave you this unique relationship that is absolutely essential to enjoy God's wonderful person. Now, having said that in John chapter 14, and keeping that in mind, if you would. So, we are his witnesses. Back over, if you would, to 1 John. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is Spirit of God. God gives the Spirit of God for that wonderful, wonderful way to help you understand, and for me to understand his saving grace, to walk in newness of life. That's in Romans 6, etc. The Spirit of God, we have a unique relationship by the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in newness of life. So our death, so that we can have his life. Now, and to have his life in the most wonderful way. Now, hold your finger here, bear with me. I just want to lock that in without going to Romans 6, 7, and 8. Over to Colossians, if you would, and in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And you will note, Colossians 3, picking up verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, you have a wonderful risen newness of life. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For, what's the basis of all of this? That we're to enjoy a resurrected life, this unique relationship. For you are dead. Think of Romans 6, etc. You are dead, and your life is where? Hid with Christ in God. Now, we just did up here. That's where your life is. That's where your life is. And therefore, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, hang on, having said that, if we can, down to First John chapter 4. No man has seen God at any time, verse 12. If we love one another, he dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13, herein know we that we dwell in him, and he in us. Can't get it simpler. Because, not something you did or I did, or can even imagine, because he hath given us his Spirit. The Spirit of God did it. I didn't do it. I didn't make it. God did. I didn't do it. I just have physical life because of my mother and father. I have spiritual life because of God. I didn't give myself physical life. My mother and father did. I didn't give myself spiritual life. The Spirit of God does. That's where I got my life. Got to remember the sources. So that's where I got my wonderful, wonderful relationship to God, because of his saving grace. Therefore, verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we received him as our Savior, and we bear witness of the fact that we testify we have seen him. We have seen him. Now, hang on, hold that word seen, to be seen and to see what he witnesses. Oh, go back over with me, please, to chapter 1. John chapter 1, where we started. And picking up, if I may, John 1. And you will note, verse 1, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hand, and our hands have handled of the word of God. We have seen. We were there. We spent 3 1/3 years with him. We're there. We've been there. Here's John, the last living apostle. We have the evidence, the experience, the history. It's uninsult, like our Lord said. If I don't tell you who I am, really, then I'd be lying and making God look bad. The Lord Jesus said to the Apollo, I have to tell you who I am. Who are you? I am who I am. Otherwise, I'd be lying. I'm saved. I don't want to insult God. I received him as my, what I'm using me as an illustration. I received him as my Savior. I honored his word. When I received him as my Savior, I waited 10 years to see if he would let me know if he would like to come in. Do you remember that? I didn't wait 10 minutes. God did that. I didn't feel it. It went up my elbow, electric shock went up my elbow, my hair stood on end and everything. And I knew I was saved. No. I knew I was saved because God said so. I was able to tell children that in the Methodist Church 100 years ago when I used to teach a class with little kids. Tell them, receive Christ as your Savior. We all knelt down our little chairs and we prayed, and they received the Lord's Savior. That's what he said, receive him as your Savior. And now what? Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Say thank you. And so little kids, I don't remember them having a problem. They said, thank you, Lord. You opened the door. Thank you. Here I am. I open the door. Open the door, Revelation 3:20, and pull me in. Remember reading that? Open the door and send the army out and get me in to have them bring you. No. You open the door, nothing else. Just open the door, I'll come in. I did it. You didn't do it. You did what I told you to do. Open the door. Now, so therefore, in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, there's your word seen again, to see. We were witnesses. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, that you might be able to enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace. You are his witnesses, to walk in newness of life and to enjoy God in a wonderful way. 1 John, back over to 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 14. Now, verse 14. And hereby we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So we're bearing witness. We're saved. We're saved men and women back then. And verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So the relationship. So what are you saying? What's the whole point? The evidence you're going to show is loving one another. Now what? Now, the God that saved me, when I received him as my Savior, I received him. I received God. The fellow over here, when he received Christ, he received the same God, the same life. That's what verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And that was the whole issue, because they didn't believe Jesus Christ is God. And we did all of these things. So, you know, chapter 5, verse 1, 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten. Well, why not? It's the same God. The God that... So I can't love God without loving the God over here and God over here. I can't do it. How am I going to do it? That's your evidence. That's what you do. Not hard. That's how it is. It doesn't mean love everybody in the world. We ought to love them. We're to love our enemies. But that isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about your unique relationship that you've received him as your Savior. Verse 15, that did you receive Christ as your Savior? Then you're my brother. You're saved. You're saved the same as I'm saved, by the same God. And pick it up, you'll remember it. Chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not, N-O-T, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. That was the whole test. How could you receive Christ as your Savior, as God, and be like and talk like you do? Did you understand when we received Christ? What happened? You received God in your heart. God, G-O-D, in awesome. His awesome person in your life. He finds his home in your heart, and you're in his heart. That's what happened. And so when the other one gets saved, here I am and here you are. Well, I have to what? Show what? I'm not gonna like this away. I wanna do that. That's not evidence. Because you're a real believer. Now, you may be a bad believer. You may be a bumbling believer. You may be a goofy believer. That's not a good word. You live a lousy life, a poor testimony, but you're still saved. I don't agree with what you're doing, but I certainly am going to, what? I'm certainly not going to turn away. If you're saved, then I'm going to see you as saved and thank God that he's able to save you and able to save me, and God help you and me to grow together. That's why we're sitting here, to grow and become together. Oneness, unique oneness. That's what it's about. And so what are we doing? We're going to look at all the other believers. They aren't just anybody. No, the believer that has received Jesus Christ, God in that person. God in that person makes us one. It isn't because we are humans. It's because God in his saving grace is in you. And if God's in you, man, that's a sick. God said, my body is one. I don't have 10 bodies. I have one body. We have lots of churches, but only his church. And here we are looking to God as believers. So we need to have this oneness. Therefore, verse 16, you're getting a little bit, I'm just chit-chatting. You're getting it? You can't get it simpler. It drives me. I read and I say, why am I going to do this? I've been looking. Verse 16, if I can. Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God, conclusion, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. All of it's in present tense, etc. Verse 16, and we have known progressively. We keep knowing. We don't need less knowing. We keep knowing, like going to school. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. We keep learning. Keep learning. Keep knowing. We have known that we have known and we are knowing. We are known and kept knowing. And believe. We believe. We believed and are believing. We are believing. We are believing. We're known and are believing. The love that God hath to us. That love God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love has to what? Dwell in God. If God is love, and you dwell in love, you must be dwelling in God. But I don't. Then you aren't enjoying dwelling in God. Are you? Because he's love. Say, I love. Then you ought to enjoy God. I don't love you, but like you, I don't like you. Say, no. No. No, that's not because that doesn't sell. That's no good. That's no good. You don't understand. You got saved by God's grace. In God's grace, to have this relationship. And this relationship abides in every believer. And if you deny this relationship, then how are you showing that evidence? Jeanette's saved. Are you saved, Jeanette?
She's saved.
She said she's saved. God knows whether you're saved. Now, that's true. Now, in God's wonderful kindness, what do we know? God, we're saved. And whether I like what she has for lunch or not is immaterial. God, if she's saved, she's here. But so am I. So am I. I'm here. If I put her out of the way and give the wrong impression, I'm not telling anybody. I'm telling them the wrong message. The only message I'm going to give is the sign of the prophet Jonah. The only message I'm going to give is your little old life in this body of flesh, in your old Adamic nature. I'm going to go, that's the only life I'm going to show. Therefore, verse 16, hereby, and we know and believe the love of God, that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. All of it, abide. Each back and forth. You'd think someone would catch on, wouldn't you? Back and forth. It's a simple relationship. Don't make it, it's because you don't believe. That's your struggle. You aren't believing. If you're saved, my friend, you just better believe. But if you say, I don't understand. Ah, that's your carnal old nature. And like it says in 1 Corinthians 3, you are as men, carnal. And I have to talk to you as unsaved people, to the Corinthians. You don't know any different. It's all about you, isn't it? How you think, how you feel, your background. Oh, what did God do with your background? All different backgrounds, right? All different backgrounds. And what did God do? Oh, here's this one. This one went to so-and-so, and this one, that one. No. God crucified your whole background. Philippians chapter 3. Paul went to the Gamaliel, the best schools. He was rich, a Roman citizen. He had everything. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You couldn't be better than Paul. And Paul said, it is all, do you remember it? Philippians 3, 7, it is all dung, waste, goes in the basket. But, it goes in the basket. And we're sitting there because this is my home raised. Man, crucify, take your personality and your idiosyncrasies and take them to the cross and ask God to fix your life in a wonderful way. And don't let it keep ruining your life. This is how I think. Oh, how you think. Change. Danger. It's a simple thing. No. I'll read verse 16 in closing. You got the idea? I can't say it better. I will say it, but when they, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15, if I can, in verse 4, abide in, there's your word abide, dwell, abide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you what? Abide, like the branch of the tree. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Hooray! Whoops! For without me, you can do nothing. None of this is real to you without him making it real. Do you understand that? This wonderful, simple relationship is no good without the Spirit of God representing the Lord Jesus Christ, making it real. I don't make it real, and you don't make it real. God makes it real. And to God, this is where you are if you're saved. Do you understand? Not to you, not to us, to God. This is why you're saved. And I need to catch up with God and see it. Our Father in God, we thank you. Thank you very much. Help us. We just stumble along. So God, deal with us. Help us in every way. And our Father will thank you and thank you and thank you and thank you and thank you. Spirit of God, move in the heart. Thanks. In Christ's name, amen.